On December 22nd, a powerful ice storm knocked out power to tens of thousands of customers, some for more than a week. Many people without electricity struggled to get basic information and to get through to the municipally owned power company to report outages. Some even took to social media to pick up the slack on their own. Meanwhile, a high-level public official took some heat for slipping out of town to be with family over Christmas while others celebrated the holiday in the dark. Then, discussions followed about tree trimming and burying the lines, along with calls for an independent review. Sound familiar? But in this case, we're not talking about the Lansing area and the Board of Water and Light. We're talking about Toronto, which was hit by the same ice storm that wreaked havoc on us 3 weeks ago. Renata Delicio has been covering the outage for the Toronto Globe and Mail, and she joins us now by phone. Welcome to Current State, Renata.
Thanks very much for having me on.
First, give us the parameters of your ice storm's damage. How many people were without power and for how long?
In Toronto, at the height of the outage, it was about 300,000 customers without power, and that's 40% of the utility's customers in the city. And outside of the city, you had about another 300,000 people without power in Ontario.
My goodness. What were some of the biggest complaints that you heard?
It was around communication. Initially, the utility in the city was advising people that they thought it would take up to 72 hours to restore power, which would have meant most people would have had power back for Christmas Day. But the outage stretched much longer, and it took till New Year's Day before pretty much everyone had their power back on.
Toronto Hydro is the city's municipally owned utility. What did it do? How did it go about communicating with residents during the storm?
There were daily briefings, and there was a call center that was established as well as information on their website. But we did hear from a lot of people who had trouble getting through to anyone at the call center or getting any reliable information on when their power would get back on. Did they need to remain in their homes? We heard from people who had damage to their electrical masts, which means they needed to fix something on their end at their home before they could be reconnected to the grid. And they were receiving conflicting information whether they needed to stay in their cold, dark home or could they go elsewhere.
Boy, the parallels here are just tremendous, although the numbers are tremendously higher in your situation. Were there instances of customers taking things into their own hands, for example, grassroots reporting of outages on social media?
You did see a lot of that on Twitter, people reporting that they had outages, people sending direct messages to the utility asking, you know, when is my power going to come back on, what's happening? And you did see the utility respond that way to these customers. It's unclear how long after those tweets did they actually get service and their power back on at home.
And do you have a sense yet of how Toronto Hydro is going to be responding to this episode? What are they saying? What have they been saying since power's been restored about how they go about their communications, for example?
Overall, the utility says that it feels it handled the outages and the ice storm well. They are planning to do a review as well as the province on how the outage was handled and whether things could be improved. I think a lot of people did feel that communication wasn't as strong as it should have been. They're wondering sort of could there not have been a clear indication of which neighborhoods were going to get their power restored and a better sense off the bat whether, you know, for people who were without power for more than a week, had they known that initially, they would have probably made different plans than some people were just staying, you know, scrambling to find hotel rooms, going from relative to relative
right.
Because they didn't know day to day what was going to happen. People very much expressed that they felt that their lives were on hold.
Do they have an outage map? Because one of the major calls here in Lansing has been for an outage map to be created. Did Toronto Hydro have one?
To be honest with you, I'm not very clear on whether they did. I know the utility that serves a lot of the rural areas outside of Toronto, they did have a very clear outage map. It was pretty easy to see who did not have power in the province. I'm not as clear on how good Toronto Hydro's outage map was.
Are they going to make an effort to strengthen social media, or do they feel that was adequate for what they faced?
The CEO of the utility did acknowledge that right now one of the lessons learned they do feel is they need to strengthen their communication, but that'll be one of the things that the utility will be reviewing as well as the province.
This is the parallels, as I said, are extraordinary. Your deputy mayor, Norm Kelly, who was leading the city's efforts during the outage, took some heat for slipping down to Florida to be with family over Christmas. Tell us about that.
Yeah, he did. Norm Kelly is the deputy mayor, and one of the aspects that complicated things in Toronto is the mayor of the city has been facing drug allegations since May, and in November, city council voted to strip him of much of his mayoral powers, which meant that the deputy mayor has greater powers as a result of that. The mayor and the deputy mayor at the start of the storm were talking about whether to call a state of emergency or not. The deputy mayor felt one should be called. The mayor didn't, meaning he remained the public face of this storm and giving daily briefings. But a couple days after the deputy mayor pushed for the state of emergency, he did go to Florida for a day to visit family and spend Christmas there. And when he came back, he did face heat from some members of the public who felt he shouldn't have been there while so many people were still without power and were in the cold.
Well, Renata, are you saying that the deputy mayor actually had more authority to address this situation than Mayor Rob Ford?
The deputy mayor did. Yes, he was. In Toronto, the mayor was in front giving the daily briefings in front of the cameras, but behind the scenes it was actually the deputy mayor who was steering the ship, who was speaking to the provincial government and officials. So all of that left many people with the sense of that it wasn't clear who was in charge of this storm.
Is it clear to you, Renata, whether Mayor Ford viewed this as an opportunity to shore up credibility in his administration?
I think overall Mayor Ford did come across looking very well. He was out there every day. He was responding. He was giving updates. And I think very much many people felt that the mayor was present through the storm. They may have not had the understanding of what was happening behind the scenes, but he was out there every day.
Were there other conflicts on the city council?
City councilors were divided over whether a state of emergency should have been called or not. It's not very clear what difference that would have made, except for cementing in the public's mind that this was a very serious situation. The province did step in. It didn't require legislation to help Toronto and other municipalities that were affected by this storm.
We're talking with Toronto Globe and Mail reporter Renata DeLicio, who's covered the massive power outage faced by Ontario and the city of Toronto, the very same storm that wiped out power here in the Lansing area back on December 21st and 22nd. Back to this declaration of emergency, Renata, there was some discussion and disagreement about that. There was no declaration of emergency in Toronto. Is it clear why not?
It was the mayor's call whether a state of emergency should be declared or not. And he decided that this situation did not warrant a state of emergency, that all the actors involved, the utility, the provincial government, the city, that they had all their emergency operations going and were responding to the storm. The difference it would have made politically is had a state of emergency been declared, then the deputy mayor, Norm Kelly, would have really become the public face of the storm. So there's a political debate going on about the reason for, you know, why truly what the reason was for not declaring it. But Toronto wasn't alone in that. There are very large cities around Toronto, and they were affected by the storm as well, and they did not declare a state of emergency either. Only one small township in Ontario did so.
What about other issues that came up during these outages? Were there discussions, for example, about tree trimming?
Yes, and that'll be one of the issues looked at now, is whether the preventative measures around trimming trees around power lines, is the program robust enough? Should more money be spent on that? There are about 10 million trees in Ontario, and in terms of power line damage, that was the largest component that damaged power lines, was trees breaking apart and falling on them. The other issue that came up is whether more power lines should be buried.
Yeah.
The utility has expressed sort of reluctance to do more of that because of the high cost, but I'm sure that that'll be one of the things both the province and the utility does review. It was an aspect that was reviewed in Quebec after the devastating ice storm there in the 1990s.
Have there been any calls to switch from the municipally owned utility, Toronto Hydro, to a privately owned one?
I haven't heard much of that at all. In Toronto, it is just the one utility that services the city, and it is a public utility. And I really haven't heard much calls about privatizing it as a result of this storm and how the outage was handled.
Renata, you mentioned a review will be taking place. What are the parameters of that? Independent outside review? How will that unfold?
All of that is not completely clear yet. The province has just announced that it will have the fire marshal and also its Office of Emergency Management, that it will be taking a look at not just how Toronto Hydro handled the storm, but how other utilities in the province. The utility has announced that it will do an independent review, and I believe the utility does plan to make the review, the findings of that review public. What consequences there will be as a result of that, I think all of this will be more of lessons learned, reviews, and seeing whether they can strengthen their system for the next storm.
Renata DeLicio is a reporter for the Toronto Globe and Mail. She's been covering the city's power outage, which was caused by the same ice storm that knocked out power to thousands of Lansing area residents back on December 22nd. Renata, thanks for joining us this morning. We appreciate it.
Thanks very much.